Good morning, everyone. Late morning. Welcome back to the Demand Gen Summit track. If you've been here to the event before, we're very fortunate to have several alumni join us and speak year after year. Guest speakers get brought back when they have great ratings. And I'm happy to introduce Mike Ballard from Lenovo, Senior Digital Marketing Manager. He's one of those. So please help me in welcoming Mike Ballard.
Welcome. Thank you. Good morning. So I'm going to start us off with an ego booster, or not booster, ego downer, I guess. You can tell by my title, no one cares about us. As much as we like to, you know, you sit around the conference room and you're doing strategy, and you say, I know that my customers need to know about X, Y, and Z. So we're going to put all we can into X, Y, and Z and push it out, and it's going to be great. But I got bad news that people don't see us that way. They see us as a big interrupter, and the stats are all over the place. Walk down Times Square. It's everywhere. They're in your face. It's not just us. It's not everyone in this room. It's our B2C parts. There's a lot of messages going out in the world that we as consumers have to deal with on a daily basis, and it's a gigantic issue, and it's causing a lot of confusion. Now, if you take that to work productivity, on average, people are getting a lot of email. I mean, I get over 250 emails a day, and I have to guess what goes, you know, in the trash box first. It's any kind of vendor email. I'm sorry, but that's just, I have to prioritize out my day. But then us as digital marketers, we readjust to make ourselves feel better, and we're happy with single-digit successes when it comes to engagement. And so we've totally lowered the bar for ourselves and really set us up to be mediocre, quite honestly. And to boot, the people that we're targeting, their perception of the world is changing. This fun study I found, they took people who took selfies, people who didn't take selfies, and then they had them rate the attractiveness of people in pictures. And they always rated themselves the highest of all the people in the pictures. So we're dealing with an ego-driven market, whether we like it or not. It's just the fact. Now, what we do then to combat this is we say, oh, we got this. Remember I went back to the example of people need to hear about X, Y, and Z. So we call it, we're going to tell them about all the features of what we have to offer. If you ask the person reading the message, they're saying you're bragging, and they're going to shut you down. Okay. Well, I'll tell you instead about the benefits my product has to offer. And what are they going to say? You're making promises you can't keep, and they're going to see through you a mile away because people have the alarm. What happens is you become annoying to them, and they are going to shut you down. So you're actually doing yourself a disservice if you're happy with a single-digit click-through rate because they're mad and they don't like it. To make it even worse, people are actually paying money to not receive ads, and it's big business. You have the ad block free software that you download, and I think it's, I forget the latest stat, I think it was 90% of people have that loaded on their machine, so they don't get our messages. Why is that? Well, it's because we're shoving so much unrelated stuff down their throat that they really don't care about until they care about it. So us as marketers, what we do, and I do this too, I've banked my entire career on a lead scoring model for the past decade, it seems. For those that don't know anything about lead scoring, it's basically in the background, you provide a score to your contacts. And you do that based on two things. You do it by firmographic or demographic information, who they are they in my target market, are they the right role for us to sell into? And then their behaviors. So every time they click on your email or go to your website or to retweet something or something to that effect, they all get points. And when that point value passes a certain threshold, we flip them over to sales and we're so proud and we say, hey, sales, we got a lead for you. And it's all based upon them only coming to our website, which only represents a microscopic fraction of a person's day. Think about it. This is the universe of the web, all right? I doubt they are spending any more than a couple of minutes on your digital properties. Am I true? Think about that, right? So why is it, are we going all in on a model that only represents a fraction, if at all, on a person's day? So this blew my mind. I was freaking out, and luckily I saw bacon, and the world was so much better because we still have bacon, and it's all good. Actually, I read an article. The pork reserves in the U.S. are at an all-time low right now since Dwight D. Eisenhower's days. So eat your bacon now because it may not be around for a bit. So we sought out to try to take this to the next level. The cool part is that we now live in the age where we have so much information and so much data on people that in some cases we don't know what to do with it. Now, there's a little bit of that big brother syndrome that we always get into, like, oh, they're watching me and they know everything about me. And so, yeah, we do, quite honestly. I got to be honest with you. You give it up because you signed up for Facebook. So, ha, 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 it's on you. But at the same time, in return, if we respect that properly, we can serve them up with content and or ads that is relevant to what they want and what they care about, rather than taking advantage of that and shoving it down their throat. So we looked at what's out there in the world. This was a report done by Forrester. They took what are the top 15 sources that B2B buyers use most or enjoy most to find more information. Now, the cool part is on, eight of the 15 of these are digital properties that we as marketers can gain access from. So we can't, maybe if we could, if we worked for the NSA, dip into peer-to-peer conversations when they're talking to their buddies behind closed doors. We're not there quite yet. We might be, I don't know. But from everything else, we can gather that information. We can do it through media buys, purchases, data buys, so on and so on. So we have access to all this information. So what we did was we went out into the market to see, we could piecemeal this together. We could go out to individual media buyers or individual social publications and gather this together. But we looked at what vendors, and there's a number of them right now, that are offering this up as a service that we could use. But we wanted to hit it in a couple different angles because predictive's been the big buzzword around here. How can we take the power of these tools that we have with the goal in mind of serving up content that this person wants to see when they want to see it? All right, a one-to-one triggered automation system where I'm no longer taking an educated guess at a group of people that I think they want to hear about X, Y, and Z. Instead, I'm going to say this person wants to know it, they want to know about this, they want to know about that, they want to know about that. They care about it over email. They don't really care about social. And then make that all automated and trigger it off. So we first started with the publicly available data, social data, publisher data, search data. And we were able to gather and track all of our customer accounts. Now, let me take a quick step back. At Lenovo, my particular responsibility is for two parts of our business. It's our channel business, and then it's our large enterprise business. So these are larger accounts. They're usually 1,000 employees and above. So we know who they are. We know who we want to target. So that makes my job a little bit more easier. And so we're able to hand these accounts off to our intent providers, and they now start tracking these accounts just within our target role. So we target IT decision makers. So they're tracking these people, and they're starting to create a baseline of search and hits on these topics. We had 3,000 topics to choose from. It's a lot of topics. And there's everything in there from, I kid you not, like Ferrari to cloud computing and everything else in between. So we had to go in there and browse through 3,000 topics and determine what were the topics that apply to us specifically, and that we had a message to convey within that. That would be something of value to that person. So we went through, we took these topics, we bumped them up against our accounts, and we watched or let it sit there for 2 to 3 weeks and created a baseline. So as we're watching these people, I'm going to pick a random topic. Let's say Windows 10. Windows 10 is kind of a big deal in the large enterprise space because you got to migrate everyone from Windows 7 to Windows 10. It's kind of a pain in the rear, pain points. Here comes marketing, right? So we have Windows 10 out there. We're tracking all these accounts. We see the baseline. When one person starts doing a little bit more than normal on Windows 10, it bumps up. When two, three starts going, we call that a surge on the intent. So now we know something's going on at ABC Company, that there's a lot of people searching on Windows 10. So what do we do now? So we now take the next layer, and we go down to the contact. So now we're taking the predictive layer. We're taking the accounts that we know bubble up around Windows 10. We now run it through the predictive machine. So now we can take these accounts and find within the contacts within our sales force, who should we call? Who are the contacts that are bubbling up on Windows 10 and that we should start a digital campaign, actually pick up a phone call? Because we're starting to categorize them. If they bubble up super high within intent scores or predictive scores, we send that straight to sales and a phone call is made. If they're kind of in the middle or towards the end, we'll start to leisurely go into a digital campaign. We'll do it through email, we'll do it through social, we'll do it through display. So we create a score on the account, and then we create a score on the contact level. So once we take all these together, we take the topic score, the predictive score, and our old-fashioned lead score. And what we found out was we had bacon on our hands. This is actually a really cool thing. This was actually working. We are getting really good response. And I'll show you some of the stats and results of it at the end. But people were responding. And it wasn't because we are sending to the masses, but we are sending to individuals. Individuals who cared about Windows 10 at this particular moment in time. It's kind of the perfect mix. It's like a Minority Report, right? When you're walking down the street and it's, did you enjoy that Guinness beer last night? Did you? And it's one-to-one advertising. And it's what was responding to it. So the other thing we had to do too was we were just scoring on contacts we knew at the accounts. Now, our accounts are pretty large, so there's multiple contacts that we could call. On some of the larger ones, you could say anywhere between like 100 and 200 contacts. So it's a lot of people to weed through. And of course, it's not always accurate or always up to date. Now, we try to keep our data as clean as possible, but as you guys know, that's kind of an impossible thing to do day in and day out. So what we did was we partner with our data provider, Merit Direct, and they have access to basically all the contacts at the account. Now, I'm not buying lists, because I'm not going to do that. That's like marketing 101, don't buy the list. Instead, what we're saying is, hey, ABC Company is interested in Windows 10. You know all my contacts that I have in Salesforce. Who don't I have? So they'll say, okay, you got this list of, let's say, 50 people. So Merit Direct then sends a Windows 10 email from Lenovo on our behalf to those 50 contacts that we don't know. If any of those 50 contacts engage with that content, now we know who they are, and they flip over to our Salesforce and become a known contact. So I'm only ingesting new contacts when I know that they're real because they've engaged with something and they care about what I'm sending to them because they've clicked on that particular piece of content. So now we have all those worlds married out. And I have, okay, cool. So this is, I tried to make a stack to kind of explain how we've set up this system. So we start with the marketing universe, and we have both known and unknown groups. So I'm categorizing that way. Our known sits within our sales force. The unknown sits in the world somewhere. We don't know where they are. Now, we're using two different intent providers right now. Both I know, I've seen them walking around, both great companies, Bombora and Big Willow. They both do the similar things, but they do it slightly different. It's really cool. So Bombora is more cookie-based, so we're latching onto the person's cookie. We know who they are, and we know what their interests are, so on and so on. Big Willow does something similar, but they're doing it down to the device level. So they're actually locking into that person's device and basically following them around. So we're taking intent signals from both of those. Like I mentioned, it's through social, through publications, and through search. So we're taking that. We've identified our topics through those two. The other thing we're doing, too, as a side project, which is really neat to use this data, there's two things. If you're like me, I get phone calls weekly from some rogue salesperson in, like, North Dakota who happened to sell, like, one big job to this type of industry and says, we should go all out into blah, blah, blah industry and create these gigantic marketing campaigns and focus for the next 6 months on because they got one deal. So instead, what we're doing is, okay, let's test this out first. We first run it through all the models that we talked about, through the predictive model, through the intent model, and we come back to them with, hey, rather than calling this gigantic list of people, I've just narrowed it down to a few hundred. Why don't you call them first, and then let's see how that industry goes. And if you have a gigantic ROI, like you think you're going to have in North Dakota, then we can talk about doing a marketing campaign. So it totally changes the relationship between marketing sales, where we're actually providing solid intelligence rather than just pretty brochures to them. The other part is used for content creation. So my world's a little unique with content, where I have content coming in from far too many places. I have them from worldwide groups of different products. I have it from partners like Intel and Microsoft, and I'm just overloaded with content. But again, I go back to these people usually come saying, hey, this topic is going to be huge in our industry, and they just unload all sorts of content on me on this topic. Now, what we can do is now validate that. So I can go into these intent systems and say, hey, show me what my customers in healthcare are really searching on. What intent topics do they really care about? And we can go in that, pull that report, and then go back to the content provider and say if they're right or if they're wrong. And if they're wrong, we need content around these topics, because that's what's going to trigger, and that's what everyone cares about. So it totally changes that dynamic as well, where it's you're having a little more intel rather than guessing. So now after we have that, I mentioned we now take it through the data warehouse with Merit Direct and pull in and start to market to the unknowns and hope that they engage with us. Then we add the predictive layer to that so we can narrow down even further into who they are. And then we start to do our digital marketing to them. Now we're doing one-to-one triggered emails. We're doing one-to-one social, so we're doing that through LinkedIn, doing sponsored updates. We're also doing it through Twitter. I didn't have it on here. There's a great company to check out called Sacedo. They basically do, social automation for Twitter. So you can set up conversations, you know, like a follow this person, if they follow back, like this piece of content, so on, so on. So we have that set up, as well as appending the information with Twitter handles. So now that allows us to do targeted one-to-one Twitter advertising as well. Those two social platforms for us perform really well. I would say LinkedIn within sponsored updates is probably our top performer of all of them. And we've dabbled a little bit with Facebook. I didn't put it up here just because we're not doing enough with it. But I think down the road they're going to have a lot more B2B solutions for us to do some of this one-to-one targeting on the Facebook platform. And now we're also doing this through programmatic buys, both just regular programmatic, and then we're also doing it with retargeting. So we use Audience Manager as our DMP. This already has all of our intent segments built and set up, ready to go. So when it gets triggered via Eloqua, it says, hey, go and send this ad to this person. At the same time, that ad is also coordinating with the same type of information over email and social. So we're basically surrounding them in every possible channel we can with the content that we think that's most relevant to them. Now, hopefully after all that, they digitally engage with us and do enough digital activity that both we can track, which is lead scoring, and maybe some that we can't track. But we're going to lean upon predictive to kind of weed that out for us. Then hopefully we send it over to sales and everyone makes gazillions of dollars and we're all happy and get bonuses. I'm lucky enough to have, I have an outbound call team that vets every lead that we send over with a human voice and make sure that they're real and there is a real opportunity. And then we send it over to sales. So this is the ecosystem for the test that we have run. So here are the results. This is where I said, hey, we might be onto something here. First, we started with just 10 topics. Which equivalented to, they all pointed back to three separate campaigns. One was on our laptop side of the business, which is a completely different sale than your server side, the data, the big data and data centers and that sort of stuff. Two completely different audiences. One that we actually had a difficult time selling into, which is on the server side. It's just a completely different way to market to them. But as you can see, I'm not going to read all the stats, but the two that blew me away were the MQL conversion rates. This was almost double than what we've usually done when we do pilots like this. But then when I dug even closer into the data, we actually closed deals in this little four-month pilot that we did. That one blew me away, because our sales cycle is gigantic. I mean, it's months and months and months and months. So to actually close deals this quick, and so I gave it the big ROI check mark, even though you really don't ROI a pilot, but I just decided to for fun. And so this is great results. So what we've done is we're now in the next stage of the pilot. We've taken all these vendors, where before we were doing all the channels separately. So we were doing the email program completely separate from the display program, which is completely separate from the social program. And we now brought it into one gigantic ecosystem, and we've built out all the automation and coordination to make all the things click. So my goal is within the next 12 months to completely have nothing but triggered but campaigns. So to have basically a bench, think of like the basketball court, you got your bench ready to go, of different campaigns or just waiting for the coach to call them up and bring them out and send it out and hit them, which completely changes my production cycle. So no longer am I chasing after the guy who just came in and said, we gotta focus on la la la. I am now saying, all right, that's great. We can still build that, but rather than telling the entire universe, I'm gonna build it and put it on the bench, and it will get called up. And those people who really care about what you're talking about, that's when we'll send them the information. So it completely changes the dynamic. And what we've noticed too, is if you're like us, we're always, we're deadline stressors, right? When we have the deadline of a project coming, all hands on deck, if you're behind, we're yelling at you, so on and so on. This has actually reduced a great level of stress within the team and production. So it's changed that dynamic, but it's tough to get there. There's gonna be a lot of upfront work that we have to do in order to build out everything that we need on the bench. And this is a black screen. So this is the Crazy Cat Lady starter kit, if you need to order it. This is, Mike's five learning tips. Systems integration and the marketing technology within this is not only key, but it is fragile. I mean, one little thing, one hiccup on one side is going to cause like 10 other things to break. You think it's worse? I mean, and we deal with that just within our normal systems, but when you have something that's so dependent on other systems, it takes it to a whole new level. So really take the time up front to plan out your technology ecosystem and make sure everything is talking to each other. A lot of times when we did the pilots, we didn't necessarily do them to see what kind of engagement or results we were going to get. Instead, we were doing it to see if operationally we could make this work. And the intent provider market is great right now, and it's only getting better. So the people that are here today, I mentioned the two that we work with, Bamora and Big Willow. Check them out. They're really offering some great products there. But then you got to know what campaigns to create for your customers. And that's where that upfront research goes. Take your list of accounts, hand it over to these guys, and see what comes back. And actually, just for fun, compare it to what you have out there, what you think everyone thinks they know, what they really don't know. So, and then see where your content gaps are and fill those in, or at least have a plan to do so. And then, of course, building out that content. And for us, it was test, test, test. We tested every little component. even prior to the pilot. And when we did the pilot, we did it with a small group of customers. And we typically take ones that we call inactives. Those are the people that don't do anything digitally with us for a long period of time. And that's a great group to test things against, because if you screw something up, well, they don't care about you anyway, so who cares? And if they do click on something, it's like a gigantic win, because you've made all these inactive people suddenly love you after that. So that's my, and then by the late, crazy lady starter kit. That's all I have. So I'll be around afterwards, more than happy to ask or answer any questions or introduce you to some of the people we've been working with. And thank you for your time.